I'd like to thank Keith P. for sharing. Now we will have Holly P. from the Dulles Corridor.
Yes.
All right.
Good morning. I'm an addict. My name's Holly. Get my water up there. How y'all doing? I'm well, but I'm tired. That's right. I'm well, but I'm tired. That's all right. It's good to see you guys here this morning. Thank you. Thank you for sharing from the heart. I remember when Purnell asked me what I share, and he said what the topic was, and I was like, I got experience with that. It's always good to have experience with something they ask you to share about. And as I was thinking about this morning, there's so many examples. What he was just closing on is what I'd like to begin on. You know, I'm over here by myself, but if I add one person to me, that's a higher power than me. You know, and that's how simple it is. To me, that's how simple it is. And if I think about when I did come here, well, when I was dragged here, let's get it right. But when I got here, however that was, that day, that's what happened. That's what happened. And because all of my life, and even through the first maybe 8-9 years of recovery, I thought there was something wrong with me. I had a deep-seated feeling in my gut that there was something wrong with me. There had to be something wrong with me. The way I felt about myself, the things I did to myself, the things that I said to myself in my head, I really thought there was something wrong with me. And I remember, you know, I did something horrible at work one day. I hurt somebody because I had been using all night long. And they sent me home early first. Like, you can't come back today for sure. And I remember going home and I couldn't do anything but get high. There was really no other option at that point. I had to anesthetize myself because I had just sent somebody to the hospital. And about 8 hours later, these people came to my door. It was a knock at my door. Y'all know how it is. Somebody knock at your door and you're not expecting anyone. That makes you mad anyway. And this guy that I had worked with who kept saying stuff like, if you go to a meeting with me, I'll take you to a movie. If you go to a meeting with me, I'll take you out on the scooters. If you go, we were in Key West, so, you know, he was trying to entice me with something. And one day I said, what the hell is a meeting? He said, it's for people who, you know, use drugs. I said, why the hell would I go? He was like, really? Woo, okay. And that night when I was sitting there all high, all sorry for myself, it wasn't about the guy at the hospital, y'all. It was about me. I'm going to lose my job. How am I going to keep my apartment? You know, blah, blah, blah. That's all it was. It was about me. There was something wrong with me. And he knocked on the door, and he had all these women from Narcotics Anonymous. And I didn't even know what happened to me. I was still in my uniform from work. They just swooped in and took my clothes off and threw me in the shower and ruffled me up and just took me. They just took me to a meeting. It was walking distance. They took me to the meeting. And I was belligerent and rude and nasty, and nobody even paid me one bit of mind. Just went on with the meeting like normal, and they held my hands down. You know, I had little bruises. And that's a power greater than me. You know, and those women showed up every day for a week. Every day for a week. Didn't even, you know, I'm so self-centered, I can't even imagine. They have families and kids. And every day after work, they're getting off early to make sure they can sit with me from the time I get off at 3 till the meeting starts at 8:30. Never dawned on me that whole week. The self-centeredness was so great that they had taken their time to do that. Isn't that amazing? And the first day they didn't show up, here I go. I knew it. I knew they didn't care. You know, but it wasn't about that. It was about take your own ass. But here I was. I couldn't do it. I was sitting there. I didn't want to get a shower. What if I missed them coming to the door? So now the meeting's about to start 10 minutes, and I'm still in the same uniform. I can't even shower. I smell like food. I worked in food service. And I thought, oh, my God, I can go by myself. Let me just walk over there. It's a couple blocks away. It was a light bulb moment for me, and I walked in that room, and the readings, they were in the middle of the readings, and they stopped, and everybody stood up and clapped. And I just started getting hugged. That was the first sense of family that I've ever felt in my entire life. You know that? That was the very first sense of family I ever felt in my entire life. I remember as a child, I'd never felt like I was being saved or cared for or nurtured or anything was being prevented. You know what I mean? There was nobody stepping in to say, please don't do that anymore. And that feeling just was overwhelming, you know? And I came back, you know? I came back. I didn't get to go to treatment. I found out about treatment a few years later, and I was thinking, what? You get to hang out somewhere three squares a day with a big screen TV and shit and group and hoop and holler and have fun. And I was thinking, damn, I wanted to go to treatment. Maybe I need to go to treatment. I had a couple years clean. I wanted to go to treatment. I was like, that sounds really good. And I kind of resented that for a little while. I didn't get to go to treatment, but I had to be okay with what happened to me. I had to do, you know, when you're feeling it, when you come in and you have to go stand. I was standing in the bathroom at work where the tiles were. And the tiles are only, you know, waist and below. Get on your knees and put your face in the corner so you can get cooled down. When I was detoxing, I didn't know what else to do. But I held on and I didn't use. I'm very fortunate that I've never used since my first meeting. Very fortunate. I think it's because of that experience. It's not because I'm so great. It was that experience. It was that caring spirit of the people in that meeting that allowed me to stay, that nurtured me, that loved me, that took care of me like I was a child, because I really was like a child, you know? And, but we have free will, you know? And all them little suggestions sound so good for you. But I'm special. And it's amazing how I'm special and there's something wrong with me at the same time. That's incredible, isn't it? I am so damn special. I really thought I was special. So my sponsor said, you know, blah, blah, blah. Okay, okay. I'm good with A. B, I. C, no. D, So what, about 90? Well, I think it was about 125th, yeah. I got clean on September 25th, 1991. And on December 31st, 1991, I moved back to where I come from and moved in with a drug dealer. Well, why? Because that's all you know. And he was taking me to meetings. He was really nice. He was like, yeah, we're going to get you over there because you need some help. You know, he really didn't even think I was clean yet, but I really was clean. And so that was a bad decision, y'all. That was a bad decision. And we hung out for a few minutes, just long enough to catch a few charges. Get a little special things happening, you know. I was still counting money. I considered myself the low. You know, all I do is count money. You know, that kind of crap. And I thought I got away with it, to be honest with you. But here's the deal. I didn't. And years later when the... Is Holly so-and-so there? Who? I'm sorry, I don't know her. Oh, really? Because you're coming with us anyways. And I was like, what? And I remember, you know, I remember... And the humiliation, right? The humiliation of testifying in a grand jury and seeing people I went to middle school with. Two of them sitting in there. And just feeling that shame. That I was a part of that. You know what I'm saying? And clean. And but since that drug dealer thing wasn't working out so good, I decided to move on. And this is where... The sense of caring really comes to my spirit about my story is, you know, I caught the attention of a hip, slick, cool, I ain't gonna say the last part, whatever. Man, that's the only word I'm gonna use. And I thought I was special because if you have 8 years and you're looking at me with a few months, I must be special. I must be so special that all these other women in here with all this time couldn't get you, and I can. How about you, the slowest thing in the room, and I know you an easy target. I mean, you know, right here, you know. And he had 8 years, and I had a few months, and he had AIDS, and he never said it, you know. Never said it. So... April 7th, was 18 years ago that I was diagnosed, but I was infected in my first year clean. And look at me. I'm up here. I love my life. I love my kids. I love my life. And so through all those trials and errors, and back then, you know, they're looking at me, oh, you know, you clean, oh, you blah, blah, blah. Never even dawned on them that it was HIV when I started getting sick, and he was gone, you know, because he had relapsed from the guilt, and he was gone, you know, and he ended up dying 2 months after I was diagnosed from PCP pneumonia, but he ain't got it. it ain't me. I don't have it. Really? Because you in the hospital with the shit that's killing you. You have it. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, you can't do nothing with that. He lost his life. If he would have stayed clean, he could have made it just like me. But he used and he lost. Right? I didn't. I stayed clean. I stood a chance. And so what that taught me, you know, when you're sick, and I was sick for the first few years, because when I was diagnosed, I had 3 T-cells. So it was not a pretty sight. And I was about, I don't want to give away my weight right now, but I'm about 60 pounds lighter. It was not looking good. And I didn't have any hair. It was falling out because I was sick. And but what happened was I had this sponsor who had sponsees, and I had sponsees, and I had this fellowship, and I had a home group. These people took care of me. That higher power, that power greater than me, saw me through 27 hospitalizations, 14 surgeries, loss of my eye, loss of my stomach, part of it, because y'all know I obviously have one. I can't tell y'all, in hospice care twice and out. The second time I left, my hospice nurse left with me. She was packing her shit when I was packing mine. I said, what are you doing? She said, I'm leaving with you, girl. I done buried too many of these people. I'm just going with you. And I was like, what? She became a triage nurse at my ID doctor's, and she's still there today. But those people nurtured me and cared for me. They were a power greater than me. When you're sick and you need help, they're a power greater than me. They showed up in ways I can't imagine. But I have to tell you, it wasn't pretty. It wasn't ungraceful about me going through that. I wasn't, you know, I thought I was trying to be graceful. I used to tell my sponsor, I'm trying to be graceful. She was like, not graceful, just get through it. You know, like, survive this. Survive this so you can see what's on the other side. You know, and I did. And the care that I have received from people in and out of the fellowship, because people out there care too, the energy that has revived my spirit, because I really believe that we are inherently good. As a human race, we are inherently good. You know what I'm saying? I want to do well. I want to do right by people. I want to do good. I really do. I don't want to be a hateful, nasty, vindictive attitude, negative, blah, blah. I don't want to be that. I feel like we are inherently good. I feel like we get lost because we think there's something wrong with us. And that my thinking affects how I act. But I had to train myself, and it was after an event, you know. I thought I was crazy as hell. Look, that's all I'm going to say. About 7 years clean, I was still carrying a 9mm on my waist because I had a cash-only business. And my excuse was, I don't want to get robbed. If I wear it on my waist, they're going to think that crazy. That's why you're messing with her. She can go on and do what she wants to do, because I had to collect a lot of money every weekend. But one night, I sat with that gun, and it was not a good night to have a gun. It was not a good night to have a gun. I still got a chipped tooth in my mouth from that night. In my, you know, y'all know what I'm saying. It was not a good night to have a gun. And I got that sorrowful song, you know, that one that just brings you all the way to the gut of despair. I played that over and over and over and over again all night. Just midwife in the relationship with that gun. You know what I'm saying? Massaging that gun. I had a gun in my mouth with a bullet chambered and the safety off for hours. And I did not pull the trigger. You know what I'm saying? Something had tilted the scale finally. It had been tilted where I believed I was more cared for than I was unloved. Do you know what I'm saying? The moment happened for me, and then it was over. The illness was over. I started to get better. My life started to change. I started to gain weight. I got some hair. Got lots of hair now. I'm getting ready to cut it off again. And everything started to change. And I saw a future for myself, because before it was, especially when you're sick like that, I was on IV medicine for almost 2 straight years for 20 hours a day. A pole was my life. The only time I got off is in the afternoon to go to a meeting, go to dinner, and come back home to get on that freaking pole again. It was horrible. But everything started to change after that. I saw a future for myself. And I began to believe that I could have everything I had always wanted. Children were an option. Living was an option. Living old. People, I'm 43 this year. I'm more than happy to grow old. Are you kidding me? The alternative is not an option right now. I'm more than happy to get old. All my friends that, you know, don't know my story, like moms and girls I coach and their moms, and they're like, you happy to be 47 years old? Yes, girl, I am. I love it. Shoot. Because the alternative is I'm gone, and I'm not trying to be gone. And all of it has come to fruition. Not only has all of that come to fruition, but more than I ever thought I could have, experience, or be has come to fruition. Because that I feel now, I seek now positive energy all around me. I don't seek negative. In fact, I'm repelled by it at times, even in myself. I'm not confused. Look, I'm not confused. If I'm getting ready to be an ass, I'm the first one to know. I'm not confused. I'm not sitting there going, I wonder if. No, I'm getting ready to be an ass. Claim it. I'm not confused. You know? But what I try to do today is say to myself, do I really want to make the amends? Do I really want to feel in my spirit what it's going to feel like after I'm the asshole? I really don't. I really don't. I don't want to have to go through the cycle. The cycle's too much for me. The best thing for me to do is shut my mouth. That's it. Just shut up. I don't like the word shut up unless I use it with me. I need to shut up. You know? And so I try to refrain from that. So then, as things started to change, and I had my first, I remember being, when I had my first child, and they're not positive. I always get all these questions afterwards. Let me say it. Look, I ain't never infected nobody. My babies ain't positive, and I'm good. So relax. Everybody don't, is your ex-husband positive? You know, no one is, okay? So anyways, let me just get that out of the way. When I held my first child, my whole world changed. My meaning of life changed. My priorities changed. Everything changed. I got the best job offer of my life when she was 6 weeks old. Sorry. Can't do it. I got to be with my baby. You know, and I had the luxury of staying at home with my children for a long time. And I'm telling you, nothing is greater. Anybody who knows me knows I love kids, but I love my girls. I love them. And I coach basketball, too. I got a whole slew of them jokers. I love them all. You know, they Miss Holly sit up on me in my arm like, you ain't no lap baby. You 12 years old, girl. Yes, you, yes. They want to sit up under me. See, I'm 20 years ago, that would have made me so uncomfortable. That would have made me so uncomfortable because of my childhood and where I came from and what happened to me. I would have never been able to embrace a child like that, ever. I would have ran from a child trying to get nurturing and loving and caring for me. Today, I'm so grateful to have those opportunities. I'm so grateful when a girl sees me, when I go up to the middle school and a girl sees me, she runs into my arms. See, the love is everywhere. That power that's greater than me is in every single person in front of me if I just choose to connect with them, in every single situation. And my line of work is the opposite. I don't know physical labor. That had never been my thing. It is now. I chose it. A few years ago, I chose to choose physical labor as a job. You know? It's a good one, though. I'm a sports massage therapist, and I love my job. I'm just saying, that's some hard work, but I love my job. Some special people been on my table. But I'm sorry, I got some boundaries today. I got it right. I'm single anyway. Shit, don't worry about it. But I'm just kidding. That's a joke. But I'm saying, but I chose it. Why? Because I'm strong today. I'm not only strong in mind now, but I'm strong with my body. You know what I'm saying? And I can lift a 300-pound joker with no issues. I ain't got no problems doing it. And I'm loving that. And I'm going to tell you something else. One thing that I always tried to avoid was the man who raised me, okay, from an infant to when I was put out of the house at 15. I tried to avoid him in everything I did. The way his hair looked, the size of his body, the color of his skin. I tried to avoid that man my whole life. Do you see what I'm saying? If somebody was in the program and looked like him, it was hard for me to hug him. Do you get what I'm saying? And he's long gone. He blew his head off when I was 17. So he's not even here to haunt me. He's here to haunt me. Not now. I'm talking about a little while ago. But do you know how many times that man shown up on my table? His body, his hair, that skin tone. He showed up on my table over and over and over again. And my willingness to touch it healed me. The energy from those men helped heal me because I had gotten through the mental piece. But that physical aversion was still there, and it healed me. So allowing these opportunities to come in, allowing my spirit to take advantage of them instead of letting fear, right, stop me, has given me so much freedom. So much freedom. So now I see every single interaction as a true opportunity. A true opportunity to have a greater experience than when I'm sitting by myself. That's the way I see it. That's how simple it is. That's how simple it is for me. And I'm not afraid to touch people today. I'm not afraid to let people embrace me today. Let them hold me as big as I am and as old as I am. I'll crawl up quick. Right there. Put your arm over here. You know what I'm saying? But my children, I think about the opportunity they have with their life. They have been touched every day of their lives. Well, they've been massaged since birth, so you know they're spoiled. Rotten. But they've been touched and loved every day of their lives. They are not confused. Their mama loves them. They don't wake up one day of their life and wonder, is somebody not going to protect me? Is somebody not going to take care of me? Does anybody love me? My children don't wake up with that thought. That doesn't mean one of them ain't got issues with the daddy, because she does. She's 11. It's happening. But she knows I love her. And she knows I'm never going anywhere, whether I leave this earth or not. I'm not leaving her. I've instilled myself in her spirit. I have loved her so greatly that she feels safe and secure in this world. And I've made it my number one issue. You know what I'm saying? Because it didn't happen for me. And I'm going to be honest with you. The way I started parenting is I didn't do anything my parents did. And it was a great damn start. You know what I'm saying? We couldn't go anywhere but up from there. And that's not a bashing thing. That's a thing that, look, I'm going to tell y'all something. It took me 18 years in recovery to tell the truth about my childhood. 18 years to say the truth about what happened to me as a child. What my mother did. It took me 18 years to say the truth. I'm sad that it took me that long. I could have trusted this process way earlier. You know what I'm saying? It was so humiliating to say what she did. It was almost unbelievable to know that that happened to a child and that it was me. You know? So it took me so long to say it. And I realize now, just say it. Just say what it is. Because if you don't, it blocks you. It stunted me. It didn't paralyze my growth. It didn't keep me from maturing. It didn't keep me from doing all the things I've done. It stunted the freedom that I could experience. You see what I'm saying? And when I finally started telling the truth, things changed again. And it wasn't like I was telling a lie. I just was unable to say it. Like to speak those words, thank you, baby. To speak to us, I accept tissue today. You know, back in the day, they'd be like, don't give her no damn tissue, just let her cry. All the love in the world, right? Thank you, baby. You know, but the reality is that the freedom from that, I think that I came to this place where I was having this awakening that if I'm in this experience, and I trust that I'm experiencing every single thing I'm supposed to experience, the way I'm supposed to be experiencing based on my options of free will, I'm going to go ahead and throw that in there, then you are too. And if I believe that you're going to be okay, I'm going to be okay too. And when I applied that to myself, I realized I could finally start saying the truth of the actions that my mother took. I don't even have to say what they are up here today. I can tell you that it was a grave injustice to a child. It should have never happened. You know? And because it happened, it probably made me have a harder time with the virus than I needed to have. Because of what she did, it ruined my immune system. You know? And that's her illness. One of them. You know? And I can tell you today, the solitude that I have about my life experiences, everything that's happened before recovery, during recovery, up until this moment, I finally found peace after that acceptance that I don't want any of it to have gone any differently. Not one minute. I used to say, I wish this. I wish that. I wish she hadn't been married 5 times. I wish she hadn't, you know, I go to all them stories. You know what I'm talking about. I wish, I wish, I wish. I don't wish no more. I'm so glad that every single moment happened the way it happened, because if it had not, I wouldn't be the mother I am today. I wouldn't feel the way I feel about myself today. And I can tell you right now, 100% in my spirit, there is nothing wrong with me. Do you see what I'm saying? There's nothing wrong with me. I know that to be true. And I never thought I would be able to say that, but I know there's nothing wrong. I don't walk around in that trance of unworthiness that some of us are willing to look at. I don't walk around in that stuff anymore. I'm completely worthy. 100%. You know, all I can say to you guys is that every time you're touched by someone, every hug, every handshake, every moment you can, feel that. Feel that inherent goodness. Connect. There's no reason for a wall. You know, we've had it up so long. We've been deprived of ourselves for so long. We've been deprived of love for so long. We've been deprived of a connection for so long. We have guarded ourselves for so long. We don't have to anymore. You still gonna get hurt?
Yeah.
That's okay. Shit, we've already survived the worst. I know that's right. Shoot, for me, that's right. I can make it through anything today. It doesn't even matter what it is. Even my child was sexually assaulted when she was 3 years old, and I didn't kill nobody. I mean, feel that all the way to your core. My 3-year-old, and I didn't kill nobody. I almost did. I'm just saying the thought was there about 10,000 times, but I didn't do anything. I loved my child, and I got her through it. You know what I'm saying? So I know today, I want to connect. I want to connect. I want to feel that love. You know, I want to come from compassion and understanding. You know what I mean? About myself. Because if you irritate me, every once in a while, it's because you're irritating as hell. I'm not going to lie. That's the reality. Because some people just, that's where they're at. Hell, I was there. I think somebody at my 20-year anniversary likened me to a hurricane when I was like my first 5-7 years clean. I was like, really, that bad? Yeah, that bad. But the reality is that's not the case anymore. So now, I'm available. I'm available for me and I'm available for you. Because I trust. And my faith has turned to hope. You know, because a loving higher power cares. Thanks for letting me share.
Our family, Karen, I'm still a recovering addict. We still have time if anyone wants to share.